Okay, so our regular Pirkei Avos Shir, weekly Pirkei Avos Shir, is always sponsored, and today is no exception, by Jake and Karen Abelevitz, in memory of Jake's beloved parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother Yoshua ben Shimon Dov. The neshama should have an aliyah. My goal this morning was to try and create a new topic within the framework of Pirkei Avos, so that the people who come on a regular basis feel the connection, but people who are coming for the first time will be able to have a standalone shir related to Pirkei Avos, as well as the holiday of Shavuos. So we're only cheating a little bit in the sense that we're one Mishnah off from where we would be otherwise. So we're skipping the last Mishnah in the fourth chapter, and we're going to start with the fifth chapter. And the main purpose of this morning is to analyze the number 10. The number 10, we probably take it for granted. We don't seem to give that much significance to it in our daily lives. But in Judaism, there is a deep symbolism to the number 10. And I want to dive deep with all of us this morning to try to understand what this symbolism is on a broader level. So the way to start off is to look at the fifth chapter of Pirkei Avos. The first, here you have it right here, I'll make it bigger again, but these are the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, first six Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos in the fifth chapter start with the number 10. And to do a broad overview, we're not going to go into detail now, we have future weeks to do that, but just as a broad overview, Ba'asara ma'amaros nivra ha'olam, with 10 utterances, the world was created. And we'll delve a little bit deeper into that in a moment. But the next one, Asara Doros mi Adam vad Noach. There were 10 generations from Noach to Adam. Number 3, Asara Nisyonos, Nisnasa Avram Avinu Alav HaShalom. With 10 trials was Abraham our father's tried. He had 10 tests. The next Mishnah, Asara Nisim, Nasu Lavosena b'Mitzrayim v'Asara Alayam. There were 10 miracles for our ancestors in Egypt and 10 at the sea. Eser Makos Hevia Kadosh Baruch Hu Amitzrim b'Mitzrayim v'Asara Alayam. There were 10 plagues for the Egyptians in Mitzrayim and 10 on the sea. Asara Nisyonos Nisu Avosenu Es HaMakom Baruch Hu B'Midbar. With 10 trials did our ancestor try God in the desert. And the next Mishnah, Asara Nisim Nasu Labosenu B'Beis HaMikdash. 10 wonders were wrought for our ancestors in the temple in the Beis HaMikdash. And finally, Asara Dvarim Nivru B'Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashos. 10 things were created on the eve of the Sabbath at twilight. So a rundown of the number 10 and how it impacts several different things within Jewish life. Interestingly, what's absent from this top 10 list? What's absent from these things that are significant that have the number 10? The Ten Commandments, right? The Aseret HaDibros doesn't make it into the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos. Perhaps there's a deeper reason for that, but what we're going to want to do is we're going to want to see, as we go through the significance of the number 10, will we be able to use any of the commentaries and how they explain these significance of 10 and relate it to the Aseret HaDibros? Do any of them make that connection explicitly? So that's something we're going to keep in mind as we go through the sources. So let's go back, though, to the first Mishnah here in chapter 5, because that's the one where we're going to spend the most time analyzing. So, Ba'asara ma'amaros nivra ha'olam. The world was created with 10 utterances. Umatam lomar. So the Mishnah asks a very simple question. What are you trying to teach me by this fact? V'halo b'maymar echad yachali baros. God, if he wanted to, could have created the world with one utterance. So why create it with 10 utterances? So the Mishnah gives an answer. We're actually going to give a different answer based on the Maharal, and we'll analyze this in more detail in future weeks. But the basic level, at least for now, Eli Parim in Arashayim Shema Abdemesa Olam Shenivar Basar Ma'amaros. The fact that the world is created with 10 utterances instead of just one holds the wicked more accountable than they would have been if the world was only created with one utterance. And then on the flip, V'litein schar tov l'tzadikim shemekayim es ha'olam shenivar basar ma'amaros. It also allows us to have more reward. The fact that the world was created in 10 utterances instead of just one ups the ante. It makes the punishment larger, but also the rewards that we can reap are larger because the world was created with these 10 utterances. Again, there's a lot to delve into. There's a lot to understand here. It's a relatively cryptic statement. So let's start diving in and try to figure out where what the number 10 has to do with. And what are these 10 ma'amaros? What does that mean, that 10 statements created the world? So let's start off with the Gemara here in Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara is trying to decide, or trying to explain, why we have 10 psukim for the different, in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, we have 10 psukim that we quote as we go through the davening. So there's 10 that relate to Malchios, kingship, right? Shofros, Zichronos, and Malchios. Malchios is one of the three, and there's 10 psukim that relate to kingship. So Hani Asara Malchios, these 10 that relate, verses that relate to kinship, Kenegin Mi Amar. So why do we recite 10? Why do we quote 10 verses? What does that correspond to? So we have a few different opinions in the Gemara. So Rebbe Amar, Amar Rebbe, Kineged Asara Hilulim Sh'amar David B'Sefer Tehillim. So the first answer is that it corresponds to the praises, the 10 praises that David says in Tehillim. But the Gemara says, Hilulim Tuba Havu. But David only says 10 Tehillim. For anybody who's been through Tehillim, there's a lot of praises in Tehillim. It's not just limited to 10. So Hanach Tachsibuhu Halleluhu. So, no, we're talking about ones that have the phrase Halleluhu, praise him, in with the blast of the shofar. So in that context, related to shofar, so there are 10 praises. Okay, so that's the first answer of the Gemara. It relates to the praises in Tehillim in Kuf Nun Halleluhu. That's answer number one. Answer number two, Rav Yosef Amar, Kineged Aseres Hadibros. The 10 psukim are related to the 10 commandments, Shenemru lo Moshe b'Sinai, that were stated to Moshe at Har Sinai. Answer number 3, Rav Yochanan Amar, Kineged Asara Ma'amaros, Shebehen Nivra Olam. They correspond to the 10 utterances to which the world was created. So that should have our alarm bells going off. That's exactly a similar phrase that we just saw in our Mishnah, the 10 phrases that the world was created with. But now the Gemara asks, Hai Ninhu, what are these 10 phrases? We have to go back to the Psukim. What 10 statements do you see that created the world? So Vayomer Debereshis Ten Havu, so there's only 9 of them. It says Vayomer, these utterances, if you go through the Psukim, only 9 times. So how do you get 10 utterances if it only says Vayomer, the utterance, 9 times? So the Gemara answers, Bereshis Nami Ma'amarhu. So the word Bereshis, in the beginning, even though it doesn't say Vayomer, and it was stated, which is an utterance, which is a Ma'amar, Amar, Vayomer. So even though Bereshis doesn't have a specific word to indicate that it is an utterance, we include it as an utterance. And for homework, if anybody wants to, go through the psukim, count them up. You have 9 Vayomers, 1 Bereshis. The world was created with 10 utterances. And on Rosh Hashanah, we look at those 10 utterances and say, okay, we're going to have 10 Malchios psukim that correspond to those 10 Ma'amaros that the world was created with. So 3 opinions in the Gemara, either corresponding to the 10 praises that David says in Halleluhu, or corresponding to the Aseres Hadibros, or corresponding to the 10 utterances that the world was created. So the Rambam looks at, in his commentary on the Mishnah, looks at our Mishnah that says the world was created with 10 utterances, 10 ma'amaros, and looks at this Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that says that we have a concept explicitly states that there are 10 ma'amaros that the world was created with, and that's referencing the word Vayomer. We're talking about creation, literal creation, Masa Bereshis. So our Mishnah that says the world was created with 10 Ma'amaros is talking about Masa Bereshis, the creation of the world. The Rambam states that here in source number 3, we'll just read the first line, and you have the Hebrew on the right-hand side, English on the left-hand side. Im tistakel b'kol ma'shabah b'maysa b'reishas v'yomer v'yomer, tim sam tisha, like our Gemara says, if you count the words v'yomer, you'll find 9 utterances. U'b'reishas, the word b'reishas, is the asiri, is the 10th. So our mission that says the world is created with 10 utterances is referencing creation of the world. Now, we might take that for granted. That might be a simple thing that pops into our head when we hear the world was created with 10 utterances, that it's referencing Ma'aseh Bereishis, but it's actually not that clear that that's true. That's how the Rambam learns. That seems to be what how the Gemara understands the concept of 10 Ma'amaros. But there are other options. What can it mean that the world was created with 10 utterances? So, source number 4, the Abarbanel, we're not going to go deep into this because it deals with Kabbalistic concepts, and I am not yet 40, so I can't explain these to myself or to you. But he references here, he says, Amnam chachmea emes kiblu ki elu asar ma'amaros him hasfiros ha'elyonos vikaru osam ma'amaros. So there's concepts in Kabbalah called spheros, and there happens to be 10 spheros. And for those who want to delve deeper into this and are over 40, you know, you can go do a Google search, because that's exactly where everybody wanted you to learn Kabbalah from Google, right? Do a Google search and look at what the 10 spheros are, and there's connections with Sfiras HaOmer, and that's what the 10 utterances here are. 10 utterances are the 10 spheros. Let's leave it at that and see another explanation. Pirkei Moshe, Rav Moshe Almosnino, 16th century commentary on Pirkei Avos, says, he quotes that there's these mystical concepts, that there's Kabbalistic concepts. He also quotes the Rambam that the 10 utterances are referring to the 10 Vayomers, the 9 Vayomers and the Bereishis of Maisa Bereishis. But he gives another answer. What are these 10 utterances? Not the Spheros, not even the 10 utterances of creation. Rather, the 10 utterances are, let's see it inside, source number 5, Amnam anachnu lo nemar rak al pi darchei torasenu hakdoshta kipshata, or kipashta. I'm not going to get involved with all this mystical stuff, with all the Kabbalistic stuff. Not saying it's not true, but we're just going with the pshat here. What's the pshat? Ki ein lanu esek ministaras malkam hazeh. In this context, we're not going to go with deep philosophical, Kabbalistical, mystical concepts. Va'omer. What's the simple explanation? Sha'asara ma'amaros heim remez la'aseres hadibros. These 10 utterances are the aseres hadibros. That's what it's alluding to. Asher heim shorshe torasenu hakidosha. That is the core, the roots of our Torah. The efshar sha'olam aniskar b'mishnah. And so what does it say that the world was created with 10 utterances? What's the world? It could be you're talking about the big old broad universe. Or it can be hu kinoi gam el ha'adam shu olam katan. That people, each individual, is a world unto their own. Bishvili nivra ha'olam. I am my own world. Zulas ha'olam kulo b'chlal shenivra b'torah. So we have, if you think about, what was created with the 10 utterances of the Torah? Well, you can look at it on a micro level, that people were created with the Aseres HaDibros in mind. We'll elaborate on that in a moment. Or you can look at it as a macro level, that the world itself was created, again, with the Aseres HaDibros in mind. So what does this mean, that the world is dependent, either the micro or the macro level, that the world is dependent on the, or is created on the Aseres, with the Aseres HaDibros? So he elaborates here. Third line. Shatorai sakli umnaso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As we know, the Torah was the tools that God worked with when creating the world. Ka'omer mrazal chavivin yisol shenasalam kli chemda shebo nivra olam. The Torah, God looked into the world and looked into the Torah and created the world. K'moshe darshu razal b'milas bereishis shiladaitam beis hakli. The Torah itself is what God used as his tools to create the world. Uvechein hiniach lanachas munechas, sha'olam kulo niver b'torah, klula b'aseres ma'amaros, shem aseres hadibros. So what does it mean that the world was created with 10 ma'amaros? I understand if you're telling me that it's referencing the 10 statements of actual ma'aseh bereishis, of creation, that it's the world was created with these Vayomers. But if you're not going to say that it's the Vayomers, the Pirkei Moshe says that's not the pshat, as it were. Rather, the Ma'amaros are the Aseres HaDibros. And what does it mean the world was created with these Ma'amaros? It means that the purpose of the world and the thing that the tool that God used to create the world was the Torah, is the Aseres HaDibros. And if you want to talk about not just on a macro level, but on a micro level, Vim Hayam Ma'amaro al Olam HaKatan, you want to look at it as people, as a microcosm of the entire world. Yomar ki tachlis ha'adam u'atorah. That's our purpose as well, is Torah. Uvit Torah nivra ha'olam ha'adam. We were created for the purpose of Torah as well. Kimosha ramzu razal ba'omro v'yisyatsu b'tachtis ha'ar. Melamet shekafa aleim es har kegigis. We know there's a statement of the sages that God picked up the mountain, put it over our heads, and said, "V'amar lahem im tikablu es imatora es atora mutav." If you accept the Torah, all's good. Vim lav sham take for us. If not, you will be buried under this mountain. What's that mean? What's the symbolism? Shakavana bezesh im yikablu es atora yuchayim la'olam. If we accept the Torah, that's going to provide us our lives. That's going to give us our spiritual nourishment that can help sustain us. Vim lav harayim kemesim. Then we're dead. We're nothing. Without the Torah, we're nothing. Torah is what invigorates us. It's what provides us with our lives. Nimsa sha adam niver b'Torah shenemar basar ma'amaros v'dibros yikaros. The people, us individuals, me, you, everybody here, was created with asar ma'amaros, aseres adibros. The Torah is what provides us our lives, and without it, we wouldn't have anything of significance of substance. So that's how the Pirkei Moshe understands our Mishnah. So just to recap before we move forward, what we have until this point is that we have Pirkei Avos, fifth chapter, has six Mishnayos that deal with tens, and one of those Mishnah has two other tens, so we have eight tens. It would have been nice if we had ten tens, but we have eight tens listed in the Mishnah. What's the significance of at least the ten within the first Mishnah? It's either referencing ten creations of the statements that created the world, it's referencing the ten spheros, or it's referencing the Aseres HaDibros. Now, we're going to delve a little bit deeper. And for this, we're going to do some number symbolism, as well as a fuller analysis of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, at least how they reference to the number 10. So for this, we turn to the Gemara in Menachos, source number 6. The Gemara says as follows. Amar le, anahacha kakasha. So it's in the middle of a back and forth in the Gemara. We're not going to get involved in the full details. But Rabbi Yehuda Nasi basically said to Rabbi Ami, you could follow in the English, taken from Sefaria. He says, I'm not talking about the literal verse. I want to know, what does it mean? Here's what we're talking about. The Pasuk says, ki beka Hashem tzuralim. What's beka? Yud hey. Ya. Yud hey. Ka. Right? I'm going to say ka instead of Yud hey, but it's actually ya. So what's ka? Velok, so why does it say that? So kedarish Rabbi Yehuda. So it's to teach us like Rabbi Yehuda bar Ilai. Elu shnei olamo shebara kadosh baruch hu. Okay, there are two worlds that God created. We're in the second paragraph in the English if you're following along. The God created two worlds. What are the two worlds? This world and the next world. So he created echad behei ve'echad beyud. One of these worlds he created with the letter He, and one of these worlds he created with the letter Yud. Ve'eini yodea ima olam haba biyud va'olam hazeh behe. I'm not sure, he says, whether or not it is this world that was the next world that was created with a Yud, and this world that was created with a He, or if it's ima olam hazeh biyud, if this world was created with the yud, va olam haba behei, and the next world was created with a hey. So he's not sure. He knows one was created with a hey and one was created with the yud. And obviously there's a tremendous depth and symbolism here. What does hey represent? What does yud represent? But he's not sure if this world or next world. So what is his answer? Kishu omer ele todos hashamayim ba'aretz behi baram, al tikri behi baram, ela behei baram. God created the world, meaning this world, with a hey, behei baram. So we take that word behi baram and we split it. Behei, with a hey, baram, he created it. So Hevi Omer Olam Hazeh Behe. So it must be that this world was created with a Hey, and the next world, Olam Haba, was created with a Yud. So that's enough for now. The Gemara goes on a little bit more in depth, but we're gonna go on to the Maharal. So with all this knowledge that we have from these Gemaras and from this Mishnah, the Maharal is about to take us on a journey into the depth of what the letter Yud and the number 10 stand for. There's a tremendous amount of, it's just mind-boggling as we go through this. Hopefully it opens our eyes to see how powerful the number 10 actually is. So he says as follows. V'yesh l'cha l'das. This is the Maharal on this Mishnah. Perek 5, Mishnah 1, and Perkei Avos. So we should know. The fact that the world is created with 10 ma'amaros, the Mishnah said it could have just been created with one statement. God can do whatever he wants. So just say one statement, and that would be enough. So why 10 statements? So he says, Mora, sha'olam hazeh, yeshlo ma'ala elyona. So number one, and we're going to keep track of this, and I've underlined it for ease of reference. The Maharal says that the number 10 symbolizes Ma'ala Elyona, a higher level, an elevated plane. So that's the first concept. V'Hashem Yisparach Shechinaso Ba'olam Hazeh. God's Shechina is in this world. U'mora Alzeh Mispar Asara, ki HaShechina Im Hasara Tamid, V'lo Pachos Me'asara. The next part of the equation is that the Shechina, God's presence in this world, only takes effect when there are 10. The Shechina is with 10, not less than 10. And perhaps we're starting to think about that's why a minion is with 10, an Eda is called a 10. The Shechina is with 10, not less than 10. So we saw this, for those who are keeping track, earlier in Pirkei Avos, that when 10 people are sitting and learning Torah, the Shechina is with them. Shemizet teda mashem mispar asara mekabel kvod haShechina, ki asara yesh bahem kedusha. So 10 has holiness. So far, the number 10, we're just going to keep track, has a ma'ala elyona, an elevated plane. The Shechina is with 10, because 10 represents kedusha, holiness. So that's what we know about number 10 so far. So how does that apply to our Mishnah? Ulefichach, im nivra ha'olam b'maymar echad. If the world was just created with one statement, lo haya ela olam ha'madrega al yona azos, then the world would not have this elevated plane, this higher level. Aval atash ha'olam nivra ba'asar ma'amaros. Now that the world was created with 10 utterances, yesh ela olam ha'madrega al yona ha'kedosha, now the world can be seen on this elevated plane. If it was just one, not elevated, we wouldn't have tapped in to the Kedusha or to the ability for the Shechina. Now that we have 10, the number 10 helps us along to be able to have this elevatedness as well as this holiness. V'kol nirmaz v'meshekasav ki b'ka Hashem tzur olamim. Everything is hinted to within the pasuk ki b'ka Hashem yud hey is God is the rock of this world. How is it referenced in this word? So ha'olam haba, we just saw in our Gemara that we saw in Rosh Hashanah, in Menachos, ha'olam haba nivra biyud, the next world is yud, is 10. Why? Mipnei ki hayud mispara asara, shemispar asara shayach lakol davar, sheyesh lo maila kedusha, l'chach ha'shchina imispar zeh. So the Maharal says, I fully understand why the next world now is created with a yud. Because the next world is elevated. The next world is kadosh, it's holy. The Shechina, that's all olam haba. So that's why olam haba is 10. But remember, we have a problem. Because the Maharal can't stop here. Because olam haba is 10. But our Mishnah said, this world is 10. So we almost have a contradiction. The Gemara says that this world was created with a hey, which is 5, and the next world is created with 10. And our Mishnah says that this world was created with 10. So which is it? Is this world 5 or is this world 10? 10 represents kadosh, holiness, elevation, mala elyona. That's the next world. So what about this world? So the Maharal says, Abala olam azeh nivra behe. This world is with a hey. Ki ha hey yeshba shnei chalakim. So now we got to take the hey and we got to dissect the hey. The hey is made up of two parts. What are the two parts in the hey? So if you look at the hey very carefully, and now I will make it very big, what are my two letters in a hey? A dalid and a yud. Within every hey, you have a dalid and a little yud on the bottom. So going back to what he's saying, ki ha hey yesh ba shnei chalakim. It has two components to it. Lirmoz, ki ha'olam hazeh yesh bo shnei dvarim. This world, which is created with a hay, has both elements. Shu olam gashmi, it's a physical world. U'mikom akom dabak bo gam kein madreg elyona kedusha. It has a dalet, which we'll see in a second, represents physicality, this worldliness. And it also has a yud. And the yud, as we've already explained, is holiness, is kedusha. V'ahei hi dalet. A hey is a dalid, uvisoch ha-dalid yesh bo yud. Within the dalid is also a yud. So now we have a lot of depth within a hey. A hey has a dalid and a yud. So let's keep going. V'yesh ladas, ki ha-dalid mora al rocha v'orach kasher b'tzuras ha-dalid kav nimshach b'rocha v'kav nimshach b'orach v'zeh rocha v'orach. So a dalid, as we just said, and he elaborates in more detail, represents length and width. Right, so you have your length and your width of a dalet. Umora davar hazeh al hispashtus hashetach leorach berochav. What this represents is an expansion of up and down and left and right, east and west, north and south. It's the dalet ruchos. It's the four corners of the world. The dalet represents this world, represents everything limited within physicality. Shu aschalas ha'olam hazeh hagashmi. It's this world. It's physical. Kemoshi yispar b'samach ben yispashas olam hazeh. V'anakuda shi b'soch ha'dalet ad shenasa os hey. And what is paired with the dalet in order to make it a hey? It's nakuda shi yud. Nivdelas min ha'dalet. So there's a yud, but it's separate. Most letters in the Hebrew alphabet are connected. All the points are connected. Hey is an exception. They're separate, and the Maharal is about to explain why the Dalet and the Yud have to be separate. The other one that's separate is a Kuf. Maybe we'll deal with that on a different time. But the Hey is separate. Unlike other letters, they're all connected. The Hey has two distinct pieces to it. V'anakudashi Yud nivdelas min ha-Dalet ad she'ahei yesh ba shnei dvarim. The Hey has two components, a Dalet v'gam Yud. Mora al etchalas hispashtus hagashmi vayud mora sha'olam hazeh mekabal malo yonah nivdeles vein olam hazeh gashmi b'kol b'kol. So within a hey, you have two opposite components to it. The dalid, which is the gashmi, which is the physicality, which is this world, and the yud, which is the kedusha, which is the sanctity, which is the holiness, which is the next world. Vilachach hayud hi besoch hadalid. The yud is encompassed within the dalid, because this world is a physical world. But there is spirituality, there is kedush and holiness ingrained or infused into this world. But it's mekabel the yud ve'ena yud nogeya. They're still separate. And this is important for the Maharal, because the Maharal setting up for us is this deep philosophical point. That this world is a mixture of physicality and spirituality. It has to be that way. This world has to have physicality to it because it's this world. But it also has to have spirituality to it. It has to have the yud. But they're separate. They're connected in on a some level. We need both of them. But they're distinct. They're nifra. They're eno nogeya. They don't touch each other. Because we have to keep them separate. We have Kodesh and we have Chol. They're both in this world, but they're separate from each other. So according to the Maharal, the Hey, which this world was created from, has the Yud, which is our main point for today, is the Yud, is the Ten, is the spiritual, but it's encompassed within the Dalid, because it also has the physical. Now, we're going to do a slight pause for a second before we go further within this same Maharal and look at two other Maharals that explain the deep significance of the letter Yud. So the Maharal says here in Source 7a, Harelecha, this is a different idea. Ki olam haba yesh lo derech yashar asher eino notel yaminu lusmo. Why is the next world with a yud? What does the yud symbolize? What does the yud represent? So we said the yud represents kedusha because of the number 10, and the number 10 is significant. But the yud has another symbolism to it. The yud is small. It's distinct. It's straight. It's simple, as it were. And that's something that that symbolizes the next world. V'aderech shemagia l'chai olam haba. Ki olam haba niver biyud, shi ktana. Next world is created with a yud. It's a small yud. V'lechach aderech hayasher shu nochach hanakuda shu hayud tsar ma'od. And it's a small, little path. Right? So the yud also represents this narrowness, which represents both a simplicity, but also it's a small target, a difficulty. So there's a symbolism to how the yud looks. Now look at the next one, 7b. Ki yud ha'asid, another thing. Now we saw yud represent something in the gematria, in the amount that it is, 10. It represents something in the way it looks. It's small, it's sar, it's katan. And now it also represents something in its grammatical form. What grammatical form or purpose does a yud serve? So the Maharal writes in Netzach Yisrael, ki yud ha'asid. Yud is future, future tense. Mora ala olam haba, which also represents the next world. It's about the future. It's asid. Kemosha amru, az yashir Moshe. Then Moshe will sing. Why then the yud yashir will sing in the future? Shar lo namar doesn't say sang or sings in the past or present tense. Ella yashir will sing. Mikan l'tchias ha'meisim min ha'Torah. That's a hint to the concept of future singing. Tchias ha'meisim. We will be revived. We will come back. Because it's yashir in the future. So the yud is very powerful, according to the Maharal, both in terms of the number, the gematria, the 10, the way it looks, it's sar, it's katan, as well as the future tense that it represents. All of this hints to the power of Kedusha, the Mala Elyona, the holiness, the sanctity, representing the next world. Now, take that, and let's go back to what he was saying within our Mishnah. Next paragraph. Va'od teda, ki masha nivra ha'olam ba'asar ma'amaros, davar ze yora al ma'alas ha'olam vishle musa. 10 also represents not just the mala, the elevatedness, but also the shlemus, the wholeness, the perfection. Umorazem misbar asar. So according to the Maharal, not only does 10 represent holiness and elevatedness, it also represents perfection or wholeness. Umizet teda lahavin. Dvarim elu. Ki ha'olam hazeh roi shia nivra basar ma'amaros. Ki ha'olam hazeh asher nivra men Hashem yisbarach asher hu echad. And the Maharal is going to use similar types of forms of logic that he usually uses and that he used in the previous portion to teach us a new idea. And that is, why was the world created with 10 statements? So God, is God 10? No, God is 1. Right? God is echad. Nivra men Hashem yisbarach shehu echad. The world is created from God, he's 1. So if I do something, if God does something, there has to be some relationship from that outcome to the source. The source is God. God is one. The outcome, meaning the world, which is created from God, his creation, has to have some element of his oneness in it, because it has to relate to the creator. So the creator is one. His creation has to have an element of one. Kemosha ba'arna b'kama makomos. This is something the Maharal explains in other places as well. Inyan zeb. L'chach tzarech shetieh ha-pu'ula shu'a olam echad. So this world has to be one. Again, the Maharal is saying, is the world 10? Is the world 5? No, the world is one. That's on one level. Habachina hashenis, but there's another level. And that is haribui, multiplicity. So on the one hand, the world is echad because it comes from God and God is one. On the other hand, the world also has multiplicity to it. What does that mean? Shiroi shiyimsa ba'olam itzad atzmo sha olam shiapula atzma. When God creates something, and the Maharal says this about every creation, whether it's God or something else, there's an element of the creator inside of it. That's the one. But, as we know, when we create something, that thing takes on a life of its own, as it were. Right? So our children, let's say, have, or our students, or they have something from us, but they are also distinct on their own. So God creates the world. The world has something from Him. That's Echad. But it also needs a distinctness. What's the distinctness of the world? That's Riboy. That's multiplicity. So Echad is singularity. That comes from God. Riboy is multiplicity. That's unique about the world. Ki efshar shlo yeh lo olam bechina mitzad atzmo gamken. We need, the world needs its ownness, its uniqueness. Va'bechina zos hu ha-riboy. And that's the multiplicity. Ki ein echad rak Hashem yisbarach. Because the world can't be one because only God is one. So what the Maharal is doing here is he's creating a very complicated system, but it makes a lot of sense once we understand it. And that is that that there are different points of representation that compete against each other. And the world is almost a synthesis of these distinct points. On the one hand, the world is one, because it comes from God. On the other hand, it needs this distinctness, so it's not one, it's many. So the world is at both, at the same time, the world is both one and many. So what does this have to do with the number 10? So last paragraph in this source. Ubechina zos hi mitzad ki ha-pe'ula hi min ha-po'el shu echad lekach yesh be-pe'ulas gam kein ha-achtos. So there's an element of oneness, of unification. But there's also v'abechina acheres mitzad ha-pe'ula ki ha-pe'ula mitzad atzma ein ba-achtos rak riboy at yesh kan asara. But there's also an element of multiplicity. And according to the Maharal, multiplicity goes with 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And then 10 represents, according to the Maharal, both oneness, because it's a whole, complete number according to the Maharal, but it's also distinct, because it's not 1, it's 10. So the number 10, according to the Maharal, it's a very complicated point, but it has a tremendous depth to it. The number 10, according to the Maharal, represents both uniqueness as well as division in a complete whole. So this world, lefichach roi she ha-mispar asara, ki lo yushlam ha-mispar rak al-yidei asara, kemo shesbar lumayla, lefichach nivra olam basar ma'amaros. This world is created with 10 statements. It has an element of God, which is the one, and it has an element of its own, which is the multiplication. The addition, the multiplication, the numerous amounts, that's 9. And the uniqueness is 10. Harelecha ki asar ma'amarosh never ba olam mora al shleimus ha'olam v'asher ha'olam mekabel kedusha man Hashem yisbarach. And he brings it back to where he started. That the world has the holiness and wholeness that comes from God. So to recap, I know there was a lot of complications there, but when you think about it, if you think about it a little bit more, it's not that difficult. According to the Maharal, and for simplicity's sake, we'll skip numbers 8 and 9. There's a little recap in the text box here. According to the Maharal, what does the number 10 represent? The number 10 represents a ma'ala elyona, an elevated level. God, the Shekhinah, is 10 because it's Kedusha, it's holy. It also represents shleimus, perfection. And this is the part we skipped. It's kolel hakol. It's all inclusive. The number 10 is inclusive. So it's holy, it's wholeness, and it's inclusive. And that final complicated point is that the number 10 has the ability to hold within it, encompass within it, a complication, a duality, as it were, a back and forth, two sides of the same coin. It's both unique and it's distinct. And it's the perfect number to bring out that point, which really represents this world. This world is a combination of God on the one hand and us on the other. Of holiness on the one hand and spirituality on the one hand and physicality on the other. And it's that complicatedness, it's that two parts that really create the whole framework of the entire world and of every person. It's this combination of the holiness and the mundaneness that are inseparable. It's the hey, which is the dalet and the yud. They come together, so they're distinct, they're not touching, but they're that's this world represented in the hey. It's both parts together. So let's try to bring this together, tying it into the Aseres HaDibros. So the Maharal says here, in source number 10, that the Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments, were all stated with Dibor Echad. So that's what Chazal say. The Ten Commandments were stated with Dibor Echad, in one utterance. Very parallel to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah was 10 utterances, could have been said with one utterance. The Aseres HaDibros was stated with one utterance, but then had to be done in 10 different times because we didn't understand the one utterance. So why this 1 in the 10? Again, it's 1 in 10, 1 in 10. Why 1 in 10? V'afal gav shelo yivinu b'davar zeklum. Why did you have to say it at one time if nobody understood it? Amram b'dibur echad lomar ki kol ha-Torah inyan echad v'dibur echad, because it shows that the Torah is one. Shrei kol ha-Torah him yotzi ma'aseres ha-dibros. All of the Torah comes out from the Aseres HaDibros. So again, it's this jumping, it's this dance between the number 1 and the 10. 1 is completeness, it's wholeness, everything comes from that Echad, but it's not just Echad, there's also a Ribuy, there's a 10, there's more that comes out of this. So the Maharal says here, in source number 12, he's jumping off. This is the last Maharal. So if you're done with Maharals and you've had enough of Maharals, I hope that's not true. But this is the last one in case that you might have had that thought. But the Maharal here is jumping off of one more Mishnah that we've done. At this point, it's almost 2 years ago, and that is we'll briefly review the Mishnah and see the Maharal, and then we'll summarize the whole point of the Maharal together. So the Mishnah says, "Hu haya Omer." So Hillel used to say, "Marbe basar, marbe rima." The more flesh, the more worms. Marbe nechasim, marbe daga. The more property, the more anxiety. Marbe nashim, marbe kshafim. The more wives, the more witchcraft. Marbe shvachos, marbe zima. The more female slaves, the more lewdness. Marbe avadim, marbe gazel. More slaves, more robbery. And for those who want to unpack, that's like to say that really quickly without explaining it, it takes guts. But we're going to do it anyway. For those who are, need more in-depth analysis of what each one of those represents and means, go back. We have all of our shiurim on Pirkei Avos on Vayu Torah. You can go find it and understand what it means. But for our main purposes is that you see that there's five different marbes, five different stages. If you have more of this, there will be more problems. Right? So more of these things will create more problems for you. But then the Mishnah shifts. Marbe Torah, marbe chaim. More Torah, more life. Marbe yeshiva, marbe chachma. The more you sit and learn, the more wisdom you'll have. Marbe etza, marbe tfuna. The more you ask for advice, the more understanding you're going to have. Marbe tztaka, marbe shalom. The more tzedakah, charity you give, the more peace that there'll be. Kana shem tov, kana lo atzmo. You acquire yourself a good name. It's for yourself. Kana lo divrei Torah, kana lo chayel maba. You acquire for yourself divrei Torah. You get the world to come. So you have five bad marbes. More of this is going to cause more problems. And then you have four, could read five, let's call it five because that's what the Maharal is going to do. Five things that if you increase then that's a positive increase. Right? So more things you eat, that's going to cause more problems. The more Torah you learn, that's going to cause positive outcomes. So 5 and 5. You can see where we're going with numbers here. This is what the Maharal does with this. Yesh l'shol be'elu dvarim. Lama bachar be'elu dvarim. Why these different, you know, let's call it 10 for now. Why these 10 things in this Mishnah? Why these 10 examples? It could have used many more different examples. Ella, second line. Perish hadavar zeh. Ki ba lomar ki ha'adam hu mechubar migufa neshama. It's what we've been saying all along. A person is comprised of a guf, a body, and a neshama. Let's call it a soul for now. Va'guf hu mina aretz. The body is physicality. It's this world. Va'neshama min ha'shamayim. The soul is from God. U'min ha'aretz ad ha'shamayim nechshav asara. There's 10. That number 10 is the distance between this world and the next, and the, not the next, and the, this physical world and Shemayim and the heavens. V'zeh amram, mi'olam lo yard d'shchina l'mata me'asar. The Shechina doesn't go lower than 10. U'mi'olam lo alu Moshe li'al l'mayla me'asar. Eliyahu Moshe didn't go above 10. So that number 10 holds that difference between this world and Shemayim. Hashemayim, Shemayim la'ashem, v'aretz nasalim v'nei adam. Shemayim is God, and aretz is ours. Nimsa kimina aretz ad hashemayim nechshav asar. There's 10 between, 10 is the gap between this world and the next. V'ha'adam shenivra min ha'aretz u'min hashemayim. Man was created both, with both this physical ha'aretz as well as Shemayim. We have a guf and a neshama. So because of that, we have Asara dvar mechulakim. We have 10 different components in our body. Our body is made up of 10. Chamisha krovim el haaretz. 5 are tied to the ground, representing physicality. V'chamisha krovim el hashamayim. And 5 are elevated closer to the heavens. Sorry, niver min haaretz min hashamayim. We were created with both part of us from the ground and part of us from Shamayim. The Maharal then goes, I skipped it because it's, I think, too complicated for now, to explain which body parts correspond to physicality and which correspond to spirituality. The main point for spirituality is it's basically the 5 senses, you know, our ears, our eyes, our nose is elevated. And he talks about how that relates to spirituality and the senses, but we're not gonna go into that now. For now, all that's important is that our body is comprised of both the physical and the spiritual. 5 and 5. V'hisba'er ki chamisha mehem ruchanim v'chamisha gufanim. 5 are spiritual, 5 are physical. V'lefichach timsa ki Hashem yisparach nasan la'adam aseres hadibros. Again, I hope you're seeing a pattern already. That's why there are 10 dibros, the 10 commandments. Chamisha mehem krovim el Hashem yisparach. 5 of them are close to God. The first 5, shehem dvarim Mashu shayach al Hashem yisparach asheru b'shamayim. Those are connected to God in heaven. Ki gam kavedas avicha vesimecha shayach al Hashem yisparach. As we know, the first 5, including honoring your parents, is called bein adam l'makom. Those are between man and God. Those are elevated. Those are the 5 connected to Shamayim, connected to God. V'chamisha achronim mashu shayach bein adam l'adam asheru ba'aretz. And the second half of the 10 commandments is between man and his fellow man, bein adam l'chavero, which is this world. Is ba'aretz ki zeh ha'adam, and that represents the entirety of people. Asher nishmaso min hashamayim v'gufa min ha'adama. His soul is from heaven, and his body is from this world. So what the Maharal's doing, and he's tying this all together, all this connects. And for those who learn Maharal, you'll see that there's his philosophy is the train of thought that he has connects all these ideas together. And the idea is that 10 represents, there is, forget about 10 for a second. Starting off, there's both spirituality, holiness on the one hand, and physicality, guf, materialism on the other hand. Those are two opposites. But in this world, those two opposites live together. And because of that, we're going to have representations that combine those two things together. And numbers are one way where we see how those connections come together. And the number 10, which represents spirituality, within that, there's also elements split it, 5 and 5, Shamayim and Aretz. Both of those are connected. The letter He, again, split it. You have Dalet, which is physicality, Yud, which is spirituality. This world, going back to our Mishnah, was created with 10 utterances because 10 represents spirituality and its highness and its elevatedness, the Ma'al Elyon and the Kedusha and the Shechina. But then we also have, and we can't forget, the physical part of it. And that's all represented in the Aseres HaDibros. It's represented in this world and the next world. It's represented in human beings. The whole world and every person, the Torah, is just this point. Is this? It's showing and demonstrating this split and this combination of this world and the next, of Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, of Guf and Neshama. And let's bring this home and close it off with a reference to Shavuos. So the Gemara here, even though Aseres HaDibros is obviously Shavuos related, but literally straight up Shavuos, the Gemara here in Pesachim says, has a fascinating dispute. When we talk about the Chagim, the holidays, famous idea, are the holidays meant to be celebrated by totally dedicating ourselves to God, to ourselves, or a split? So the Gemara says, "Detanya, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Ein lo la'adam biyom tov, ella o ochel v'shoseh, o yoshev v'shoneh." Rabbi Lezer says, you have a choice. Either stay all day and eat and drink. That's choice number one. Physicality, materialism. Knock yourself out. Celebrate. Or sit and learn all the time. Those are your two choices. Choose. Hopefully you choose. I don't know. I don't know what the right choice is. He doesn't tell us what the right choice is. Presumably it's a spiritual choice, but it's not clear. It's either you eat and drink or you learn. You can't connect the two together. Our minds can only do one. Rabbi Yeshua says no. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Chalkeyu, split it. Chetzio l'achila b'shtia v'chetzio l'beis ha-medrash. Spend half the time eating and drinking and half the time in shul, learning, davening. And they both learned it from the same pasuk. Fine, we're not going to get into that now. But in the third paragraph, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Hakol Modim, everybody agrees. Both people, both Rabbi Eliezer, who says either or Rabbi Yeshua says split it, both agree, meaning even Rabbi Eliezer, who says either or, says Ba'atzeres, Hakol Modim Ba'atzeres on Shavuos, Ba'inan Nami Lachem. You gotta spend time for yourselves, meaning eating and drinking. You must make time on Shavuos for eating and drinking. Other holidays, it's a debate. You can split it either or you can combine them. Shavuos, you can't do either or. It must be a combination. You must spend time with physicality, with yourselves, eating and drinking, which is fascinating because you could have made the argument that Shavuos should be, everybody agrees that on Shavuos, you should just learn. You should just be in shul. It's totally spiritual. It's the time we got the Torah. But no, it's specifically on this day of Shavuos where we must learn that you can't be an either or person. We're a combination person, like the Maharal's been telling us the whole time. We're both a guf and an neshama. We have this world and next world combined within us, and that's what the Torah is. The Torah must be used for human beings who are physical to elevate themselves, but it's a combination of both. It's not an either or. You have to have both components to our lives. So I have more, but we'll call it a day, and we'll perhaps pick up, for those who come on a weekly basis, is no rush to us learning Pirkei Avos together. But I hope that what we came away with today is that there's a tremendous depth to the number 10. The number 10 has, especially according to the Maharal, is a combination of both the physical and the spiritual, and represents spiritual, and then, I'm not going to recap everything. I think we recapped it enough for now. But my bracha to all of us for Shavuos is that we can internalize this message and have our cheesecake and have our blintzes and have a good time and realize that we can elevate our physicalness to our spirit for spiritual purposes, and that we must also spend time with our spirituality and spend time learning Torah and be able to combine the two and live this tension. It is a tension, but it's a tension that's required to combine both the physical and the spiritual. And with that, may we all zocha to have a both physical and spiritual Shavuos and be makabel and learn the Aseres Hadibros, both the physical part to it and the spiritual part to it, as well as really, I want to close with the whole uniting. If 10 is a unification of different ones, right? That's what we're really doing here with this community program. We have different shuls. We have, this shul is an echad, and that shul is an echad, and that shul is an echad. And together we come together as a 10, as a broader community, which really is one. It's 10 that is one. It's a multiplication that really is a unification. So I commend all the rabbis who put this together, and I look forward to learning with everybody, learning from everybody as we continue going throughout the week.